I'm Kathy Dawes Now, along with Professor in Production Medicine with the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine, Bob Larson, and appreciate him being here today. Do want to remind our listeners, as always, phone lines are open during the entire hour, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And I know it's interesting. I mentioned to you, if your ears were burning at all, I know Greg McClure, the Riley County Extension agriculture agent, was also in Friday, and so we're gonna have a little bit of repeat here, but I think it's important because this is a time of change right now when we talk about our cattle. I mean, it most definitely is. I mean, it's fall. You have a jacket on today. It's a little bit chilly out there. It's good for folks to be aware of that. And I guess just, you know, we're going to be talking today about weaning those calves and the timing involved and what people need to think about.
Yeah, I think fall is definitely a time of year when we think about changing. A lot of things are changing. First of all, although the grass is beautiful and green because of some of the recent rain, we're at the end of the green growing season for grass, and so we're making some shifts in the type of feed that cattle are going to be eating. And also, the calves are old enough, it's time for them to leave home and start the next phase. So there's a lot of change. To me, it's similar. They're kind of in the same age stand as the kids that graduate from high school. It's time for them to leave. There's still a little bit of bond there with mom, but they're big enough to go on their own. And so this is the time frame when we wean the calves. So they're removed from their mothers. They may go to grass. They may go to a feedlot. They may go different directions. But that's what happens at this time of year. And then also we're kind of transitioning those cows from the typical summer pastures to what other grazing they're going to be doing, whether they're going to be doing some. They'll come in after a corn harvest and clean up the stalks in a cornfield. They may go to some dormant grass grazing or something like that. So they're changing as well. So, but they're also pregnant and looking forward to their calves in the spring. So we have to manage those cows really well during this time of year. So a time of change is exactly right.
And your average listener may not be aware. I mean, obviously, most of your calves are born in the spring. I mean, mm-hmm. That's just kind of the way it works.
Yeah, and that's really something that managers try to optimize, getting those cows to calve when there's green growing grass. And so in this part of the world, most of the calves are born in the spring, right about the time grass really takes off. And so while that mother cow is nursing her calf, there's lots of good nutritious grass out there for them to eat. And so we try to match it with the grass that's available.
And you can wait too long to wean them too. That's something I hadn't realized, mm-hmm. But I mean, there really is some timing involved with this.
Yeah. And it's really because, although they are lactating less, they're making less milk for those calves. They're still making some milk. And by this time, those calves are pretty big and they really ought to be leaving. Yeah, again, kind of like your high school kids. There comes a time when you really do need to get them off of the mothers so that the mothers are in good shape because they're also pregnant and they're ready to have their calves in a few months. And so they need to be in good body condition and have a little break from lactation for a while.
And of course, while we did focus a bit on weaning calves, we also want, as you say, look at mom and look mm-hmm. at the pregnancy status and how things are going on that way this time of year.
Yeah, and so I've alluded to it a couple of times, but we're changing from probably green growing grass, which kind of has our best nutritional profile, into grass that's not as green growing. It's not as nutritionally dense, but it's certainly adequate for an adult that isn't nursing a calf. And so that's one of the reasons why we don't like to put off weaning too long. And so we want her to be in good body condition. We may need to add some additional nutrients. Sometimes the forage that they're on is low in protein, so we may need to increase a little bit of protein so that they can get through the fall and winter and really head into spring when they're going to have their next calf in good body condition and in good shape.
As we head into the fall, is it looking pretty good locally for our
cattle? Yeah, we've had variable rainfall this year as far as it's come at really good times for part of the year, and we've gone for long stretches without rain. And so for most places, we're not in too bad a shape for the forage that's available for cows. It's rarely ideal, but we're not in too bad a shape in most places.
And when we prepare for the nutritional needs, what are some of the things a producer needs to be thinking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is I really do like to evaluate those cows right now. And if they're a little bit thin, they need to put on a little bit of weight before next spring. And so the easiest time to do that is now versus later in the winter when it's colder and harder to do. So if they're a little thin, I'd like to put a little bit of weight on them now. If they're in good body condition now, basically what we're trying to do is just kind of keep them in that body condition. So we'll look at what kind of forages and feeds are available. And if any of them have some, like I say, probably the most common is to run into some forages that are low in protein, and that becomes something that we need to supplement for part of the fall and winter.
How good are cattle at gauging themselves, too? I know horses you've really got to watch because they will overeat if you allow them to.
Cattle will also do that if you give them too much access to feed, but probably not quite as sensitive as horses, but they can certainly do that, too. So the way we deliver the feed is very important. There's really two strategies. One is what we call hand feed, where basically you are bringing feed to the cattle every day, and it's you've measured it out, and that's how much they need that day. That's probably the ideal way to do it from really managing those cows well. But that adds labor costs and time. So other ways we do it are self-feeders, and that might be a block that is that they can only eat so much, so it's a condensed block. Think of something, you know, really, really hard. And so they'll lick it, and there's only so much they're going to get. So that's a way to kind of self or to limit how much they feed. And those can be placed out with the cows for a number of days or weeks, and they'll just slowly get rid of them. So not as closely managed, a little more variability in how much the cows eat on a daily basis, but it does decrease my labor.
Now, I know Greg had mentioned fence line weaning. Mm-hmm. I don't know your thoughts or recommendations that way.
So one of the theories behind weaning is that it's a stressful time of year. Again, I'll use the analogy of sending your kids after they graduate from high school off to college or the Army or wherever they're going. There's some stress involved on both sides, the parent and the offspring, just with that separation. And so fence line weaning is really a strategy to do that in a couple of steps. And the first step is you separate the cows and the calves by a fence line, but they still see each other. So they're not in physical contact with each other, but they are in visual contact. And that seems to really be a nice way to kind of, and you do that for a few days, and they get used to the separation, but still being able to see them. And then what they'll actually do is gradually spend less and less time next to the fence, next to each other. So they'll kind of get used to being apart and just gradually wean themselves. And that works really well if you have the facilities and can really monitor the cattle to do that. So it's something we like to do. It doesn't always work in every situation, but it's part of kind of the strategy of low stress weaning to make that as low stress as possible.
We've been getting a lot of rain just this last week. Is that good or bad?
Mostly good. We like rain for the most part. It's interesting because I always like rain and I always hate mud. And it's really kind of hard to get one without the other. And so for the most part, it's good. We like a little bit of moisture going into the fall to really help our forages. But we do have to be aware of mud in that mud is one of the things that will really add some stress to cattle if they have to walk through it, bed in it, those types of things. And so really making sure that they have good clean housing to be in is really important, particularly if we've had a lot of rain.
Well, as we approach those winter months, anything else we need to kind of cover? I know obviously water is crucial in mm-hmm. the winter every bit as much as it is in the summer months.
Yeah, and a lot of times we'll forget about water because they don't drink as many gallons in a day, but it's more likely to be disrupted. You know, so frozen water pipes, frozen tanks, those types of problems that certainly occur in the wintertime. So even though cattle are consuming less water than they do in the hot summer months, they need the water that they're going to need. So, again, prior planning is always better versus having to deal with an emergency at the time. So making sure that wells and pipes and all the delivery methods are working well as they should. This is the best time of year to deal with that rather than in the middle of a winter storm.
Before we wrap up today, Bob, we've already talked 10 minutes. Anything else you're wanting to add or emphasize for our folks out there?
No, I think this is a really good, you know, a fun time of year because of all the changes that are happening. And so we just enjoy watching the cattle out there on the beautiful fall forage.
We do have a phone call. Go ahead and take that call. Welcome to In Focus with Professor Bob Larson, Kansas State College of Veterinary Medicine. Go ahead, please.
With all the years I had cattle, I always used the fly parasites to keep the flies stress off the cattle. My uncles couldn't believe that the cattle could stand there and not even swish their tails with not having the flies anywhere around the cattle.
Yeah, it honestly, one of the really nice and important tools is that external parasite control, which we mostly think of as flies. Although this time of year, we're also starting to look forward into winter when we worry about lice as well. The same products really work pretty well, usually on both flies and lice. And so just really keeping those cattle comfortable, keeping those biting insects off of them, whether it's through the summer when we think more about flies or into the winter when we start worrying about lice, that is an important part of keeping them comfortable and really performing well.
I would not have thought about lice, too. I'm glad that that was pointed out also. But appreciate the phone call. Again, been a pleasure to have with us today, Professor of Production Medicine with K-State College of Veterinary Medicine, Bob Larson. And take a break. When we come back, Dr. Juanita McGowan will be joining us to talk about conversations on race, reconciliation, and community-based discussion. Looking forward to hearing about that event coming up later this month. And you're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.